excuse me for my voice, but I have never, never seen anything like it. On the road again.
Now, if we wanted to hit mailboxes, we could let Ralph drive. We're the best
of friends. Moron, your bus is leaving. Keep turning our way, and our way
is on the road again. Welcome to this Colorado edition of the On the Road Home podcast. This is Ken Crawford reporting to you on the way home from the Colorado game on September 11th. Well, we gave Colorado a rude awakening as far as their welcome to the Pac-10. I know they were looking to show how competitive they could be in the conference, and admittedly it's only judging by one game, but if I were Washington State, I'd be licking my chops right now. So a quick recap of the game. Bears came out aggressive early. After their first drive stalled, they pinned Colorado deep in their zone, allowing for a great punt return by Jeremy Ross. And the Bears only had to go 20 yards to get their first touchdown. Their second touchdown was similarly easier when a sack and fumble recovery gave the Bears the ball on the Colorado 30. And so after one quarter of play, the Bears were up 14-0. The Bears got another field goal and touchdown in the second quarter on longer drives. The touchdown coming on the only really long drive for the Bears in the first half. And the field goal coming on another instance where the Bears got the ball deep in Colorado territory and was unable to make any progress, but took the free field goal anyway. So that put them up at 24-0 in the final minutes of the first half, and Colorado was trying to make something of the first half, maybe have some momentum going into the locker room, when a tipped pass fell right into Muhammad's hands, and he ran it back just barely, I might say, for a touchdown to make the halftime score 31-0. And the Bears just truly dominated on defense. Their offense was good enough, but the real story of the first half was the defensive performance. The second half was a little bit of a lazier affair. The Bears not really coming out with a lot of intensity, and the crowd not really being that into it. And Colorado did manage to get off one touchdown drive, a long drive where they depended on the run a lot. But the Bears did manage two more touchdowns through the majority of the second half to take the score to 45-7. And then Darian Hagan put a cap on the scoring with a long fumble recovery and run for 80 yards for the final touchdown and final score of 52-7. And you always have to start off with 52-7. You can't get too far beyond that in any critique of the team's play. Anytime a team puts up 50 points, you need to feel good about the performance. And anytime the defense holds a team to 7, you shouldn't feel too bad about their performance either. So, in the big picture, there's not much to quibble with. However, as is always the case, when you get down to the details, there are a lot of areas that need to be focused upon. The first of which is the quarterback play of Riley. He remains somewhat of an enigma and very hard to figure out. In the first half, he had a couple of terrible throws and a number of not horrible throws, but not great throws. And we didn't see this with UC Davis, so it was pretty disappointing. Now, he did get back on track, and as the game progressed, did a bit better, but it's a bit worrying to see him in a funk like that. We really were hoping that we wouldn't see him in that level of a funk in his senior season, and he definitely got into a pretty deep funk today. Luckily, he got out of it. Maybe that's part of the good sign of his maturity, is that he didn't let it get it down too much. He focused and ended up throwing a number of good passes through the remainder of the first half and in the second half. And I think that's part of the reason he played as long as he did. He was in the game until pretty late in the fourth quarter, even when the Bears were up huge. think Tedford wanted to get him a little bit more time to get in sync with the rest of the offense, to work on getting the quirks out that had clearly plagued him in the first half. So we saw more of him than probably we would have if he had had a all-around stronger performance. The other area on offense that was a bit troublesome was the offensive line play. They were not doing a great job of opening holes for Vereen. Now, they didn't do terrible. Vereen had some running room, but it was inconsistent. There were plays where the blocking schemes completely broke down, and Vereen either got tackled for minimal gain or had to do something special to get out of the jam he was in and get some significant yards. And that trend really didn't change at any point in the game. There was never a point where I really felt the offensive line got into a very good rhythm. Now, it's hard to tell just how good the Colorado defensive line was, how their front seven played. It had been kind of a criticism point for that team that they weren't that good, so that's a little troubling, but without a lot of data, only two games down for them, it's hard to really know. They were definitely putting a lot of pressure on the Cal running game. They were doing what I think every team is going to do unless Cal completely proves otherwise, which is forcing the Bears to beat them through the air. And so I think this is why Riley's funk really is the most troubling part, because if we can get it to where teams are playing us more balanced, I think that run game is going to have a lot more opportunity. And for that to happen, Riley really has to expose and beat the opposition with the passing game. And the good news is the wide receivers and the tight ends and the running backs out of the backfield are running great routes. I saw a lot of very good play. Both Keenan Allen and Marvin Jones impressed again today. We saw a little bit more of Michael Calvin, and he didn't catch a lot of balls, but he looked sharper today than he did last week. And, of course, Ross still looks very good, particularly in the punt game. So the receivers are there. The offensive line is doing an okay job in pass protection and not in a more mediocre job in run blocking, in part because the teams are forcing Cal to beat them through the air. So if Riley can just be that last piece of the puzzle, I really think this team can be a strong contender this year. Because on the defensive side of the ball, they laid out another strong performance. They unleashed the rushing schemes a little bit more this week. They weren't as afraid to throw more of the kitchen sink at them. There were a number of sacks, a number of high-pressure situations. I really felt like the front seven was doing a very good job, particularly in the pass rush. I'm a little bit more concerned about the run defense, at least in the front seven, because there were a couple times in the second half where Colorado seemed to be running the ball pretty consistently, and we knew they were going to run the ball, and they were running for 4 and 5 yards a rush. Now, it doesn't help that the referee of this game's clear philosophy was, when in doubt, it's a first down. And in fairness to him, it wasn't a bias thing. He was the same way with Cal. We had one play where we were clearly a half yard short and at a minimum needed to be measured, and he just gave us the first down. But there were, on the touchdown drive for Colorado, at least two, I can't remember if there was a third time where it was third down and they made it, and it was very close, and without even measuring and talking about it, they gave the first down to Colorado. And you know, that doesn't help your run defense. When you're close like that, you're not doing as bad as sometimes it seems. But still, they had a rhythm going, they were running the ball pretty well, and I don't get the feeling that Colorado has that powerful of a running attack. Now, it could be that just the heart wasn't there. I mean, not to the degree it should be. The Bears were up, you know, by more than 30 points, and it's hard to really play 100% when that's the case. So I'm not going to be too critical about that. The other area that was a little bit concerning was I saw a few too many blitzing schemes that left a few receivers pretty darn wide open. I'm a little worried that the Bears are going to get beat pretty badly a few times this year. Now, Colorado didn't pull it off, But I saw the fundamentals there that scare me a little bit of really leaving some people open, particularly in the flats, and, you know, seeing 30, 40-yard plays develop as a result of that. But that's part of having an aggressive defense, is you're throwing things at them, and particularly with quarterbacks who aren't completely on top of everything, they can't figure out where the hole in the defense is quick enough with how quickly the pressure's coming at them. And there was never a case where a player got truly behind the defense. So, I don't know, it's not a horrendous thing, but it's a little bit concerning, and being a person who's a little bit more conservative, who didn't mind as much Gregory's way of making sure he kept everybody behind the play, I'm not too thrilled to see, perhaps from my perspective, a little over-aggressive play. But that's a bit a matter of perspective more than it's a matter of a definitive truth. But overall, that defense is looking very strong. I mean, one touchdown drive in the second half when you're already up by 30-plus points is really hard to argue with. And they kept Colorado confused. They mostly were in the right places at the right time. I very much felt like the defense knew what they were supposed to be doing. I didn't get the feeling in those plays where somebody was a little too open for my comfort level. It was because there was a true missed assignment. I think it was part of the scheme that we're going to let that guy fly a little on the free side so we can bring pressure here or there. In fact, the one big play from the alumni side, the far side of the field that they got, it was because they brought a strong blitz on the near side of the field, and the play just rolled the other way. The Colorado got lucky, and that's just how it worked out. And that is the risk of a gambling-style defense, is that might happen. But overall, they really bottled up Colorado. The run defense was very good, except for those times in the second half where maybe they didn't have a lot of heart. They were great in the first half. And overall, you just kind of feel like this is a team that's has most of the pieces. Anger punting the ball great. Ross returning punts very well. Tavecchio getting the ball really down into the end zone. Now, the kickoff coverage team, couple weaknesses there. They didn't do the best job. There were a few too many run backs that were longer than I was comfortable with, but they didn't give up any touchdowns or anything. It was just those, you know, they're at the 40-yard line type of plays. But overall, I mean, you just feel like most of the pieces are there, and if there's one piece that probably is the critical piece that there's a little bit of a question mark left with, is Riley's consistency. If he can really be consistent and make the most of his wide receivers and his receiving group as a whole, this team could be pretty darn good this season. I mean, yes, Colorado is not a top of a conference type of team, but they're also not a complete pushover. There's reason to respect them, and putting up 52 points is a good thing. So next up is Nevada, Friday night game in Reno. Not sure whether I'm going to that game. I'm kind of going back and forth every day on whether I'm going to go. Right now I'm feeling more like I will go, but that's because I'm on my post-game high. God knows what I'll feel like on Monday morning. But at a minimum, I'll be watching it on TV, and we'll of course have a On the Road Home podcast from my living room at a minimum. Plus, Jason and I, we always get together and do our midweek podcast as well. So, look forward to those things, and go Bears. On the road again.